goes a long way to enhancing my dining experience. Nevertheless, as you already know, this afternoon's gospel has nothing to do with clean cups or kettles or even clean hands, and has everything to do with clean hearts. More pointedly, Jesus uses this dispute with the Pharisees to draw attention to their hypocrisy. He criticizes the Pharisees for setting a pristine table and serving meticulously prepared food, and then skewering their adversaries through slander, backbiting, and rash judgment. Outwardly, the Pharisees are without reproach, says Jesus, but inwardly, they are like human cesspools. There's a lesson here for you and for me also. Jesus insists that for his disciples, there must be congruity between our outward behavior and our inward attitudes. Otherwise, we are frauds. As Catholics, our rituals are not concerned with kosher dietary laws, but with sacraments. And our chief ritual is the one we're celebrating now, at this moment, the Eucharist. Today's gospel challenges us to examine whether there is a consistency between our participation in the Eucharist and our everyday behavior. How many times have we heard phrases like, "He goes to Mass and communion every week, but try to get a kind word out of him." Or, "She prays her rosary every day, but she hasn't spoken to her sister in 2 years. Are these Catholics hypocrites? How about you and me? Are we hypocrites? Do our Monday to Friday lives match up to the gospel we just heard and the Eucharist we're about to receive? What if they don't match up? Does that mean we should stop coming to Mass or stop receiving communion? I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind. One of my favorite phrases in the Eucharistic prayer is the petition, "Be pleased, O Lord, to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth." To me, it's consoling to know that God recognizes that we are pilgrim people, people on the way, but people who haven't quite reached the goal yet. In other words, God doesn't expect us to be perfect yet, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want us to keep trying. Several years ago, I had a rather heated argument with someone. Because of things that were said, I became irate and broke off our friendship. Furthermore, I felt that my scorn for him was justified. As the months went by, however, I began to feel uneasy. Here I was, standing before parishioners, celebrating Mass, preaching homilies, and all the while despising this person. I felt like a fraud. So I visited a priest who knows me well and told him the whole story. He commented, "You know, hating a person is a funny thing. You think you're able to contain the hatred in just one small chamber of your heart, and that the rest of your heart will continue to be healthy and sound. The problem is that the one little poison part has a way of seeping out and spoiling the rest of your heart, too." So he advised, "Bring it to prayer and ask what God wants you to do about this." After that conversation, I tried to act in a more friendly way toward that other person, but that proved to be beyond my ability. So I resolved just to be civil to him. As it turns out, even that was too much for me. I seemed to be getting nowhere. So the next time I told the priest about my failed attempts, he responded, "Well, you're trying, and that's all that God asks of any of us. But," he said, "I wonder if you're not trying too hard." I thought that I wasn't trying hard enough. But the priest said, "Sometimes we become so obsessed with one person or one fault that we wind up spinning wheels. If that's the case, it's probably better just to let it go for a while. Then he added, besides, I'm sure that there are already some good things that you do. See if you can't strengthen those practices. For example, try to be more patient with other people. Not with your former friend, just with ordinary people. Because, he explained, strengthening some of the good things already in your heart has a way of overcoming and driving out the not so good things that are there. Somehow I think that's what God is telling us this afternoon. We are a pilgrim people, a people on the way, but we are not there yet. It doesn't even matter where we are along the way, as long as we keep moving forward. Moreover, as we walk this journey, we should keep in mind that we are never alone. God, like a shepherd, is leading the way. God gives us the sacraments, especially confession and Eucharist. Confession so that we can acknowledge when our behavior doesn't match up with who we truly want to be. And Eucharist, where we're nourished with the food that will sustain us all